What's going on, Eagles Nation? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Louis DiBiase here alongside Gino Camilleri, recapping you the Eagles loss in Tampa Bay. Gino, what's going on, man? It's a not a great pill to swallow. We were just talking about it before the show. We're not used to the Eagles losing. We haven't really seen the Eagles lose an actual important game or a game that actually counted since, what was it, against Seattle on Sunday Night Football. So the fact that they actually lost a game, I think, has people extra fired up right now, throwing the pointer finger. Is the Super Bowl really, you know, when you think about it, everyone, like at least I said, you know, I don't care now if they win another game for the rest of my life. But it, when you look at the reactions and you look at just all the discussions right now on Twitter and on social media, you wouldn't think this team won the Super Bowl. And it's great. I like seeing it. I like it being this way. But it's just funny that, like, the edge is still on this fan base, and people want to kill Jalen Mills right now and Nick Foles, and that it just the loss, the feeling of a loss is finally back, and I think the fans feel it harder right now because it's been so long.
That's the Philadelphia media and Philadelphia Twitter for you. They are not the most forgiving bunch of individuals, and that Super Bowl hangover, it went away pretty quickly, and we're back to reality now, sitting at 1-1, just like we were last year, funny enough. But, yeah, that was a tough game. Me and you both were very high on the Eagles and expected big things out of all of them. And play one, I was disappointed all around from top to bottom of that team.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, I had them winning 33-21. I was a lot more confident in this game than even, I mean, last week against an Atlanta Falcons team on national TV. That seemed like the tougher matchup. I mean, if you were to tell me we are 1-1 right now, I think that's, you know, that seems about right. I mean, they split until you get Carson Wentz back. I mean, Atlanta was a tough test. I wasn't extremely confident even though I picked the Eagles, but it's crazy, man. The NFL, I'm just done making predictions, because who would have thought Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be 2-0 after beating two of the favorites in the NFC, the two teams in the Saints and the Eagles that I picked to make the NFC Championship game, and then they score 48 points, beat the Saints 48-40, and now they take a 27-21 game here against the Eagles. I mean, the NFL and sports in general is just I never want to see people shame someone for a cold take, because it's just impossible to tell things like this that happen in sports all the time.
It's really unpredictable. I mean, Tampa's down their top two cornerbacks, and you cannot find a way to get your receivers open, which is super disappointing. And you thought your defense would step it up. You saw what they did against the Saints last week. You saw how they just got over the top of you, and what happens the first play of the game? He let DeSean Jackson go for 75 yards and don't even have a safety over the top. So you can put it on the coaching. You can put it on the players to go around, but we can get into it and start discussing.
Yeah, so, I mean, me and you even talked about it with DeSean Jackson. What do we talk about when, if Tampa Bay was going to beat this Eagles team, it was going to be because the weapons were a problem, and the secondary really was the biggest issue today. And of course, the first play of the game on offense for Tampa Bay is Mr. Eagle Killer himself continuing to crush this defense no matter who plays corner, no matter what regime it is. DeSean Jackson went from the best deep threat in Eagles history to the biggest threat to go deep against the Eagles in history, and he did it once again today with that 75-yard touchdown. Jackson finishes the day with 4 catches for 129 yards and a touchdown. And we even said, man, if they get Jalen Mills on an island with DeSean Jackson and there's no safety help, this is going to be a long game, and that set the tone for the rest. And Malcolm Jenkins took blame for not being there deep, you know, behind Jalen Mills. But it's just you knew this was coming, and I just really simply have two suggestions for Jim Schwartz when we're talking about the secondary. Shadow your wide receivers on a game-by-game basis. It doesn't have to be every time. If you want to, for the majority of the time, keep Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills on the left and the right side and Sidney Jones in the slot, fine. But the fact that there is no way he considers shadowing a wide receiver based on a matchup, or also not playing off coverage, it was the most infuriating thing about this game today was how the corners were playing. And it wasn't just because of the corners, but because of the scheme. And I know just after one loss, it's hard to just now totally exploit the scheme. But it's been something that I had a problem with in the Super Bowl last year against the Patriots, and really since Jim Schwartz came in as the DC since 2016, is that they always play off the ball in every situation, and it's what cost them today when they couldn't get the ball back because Jalen Mills is playing 9 yards, 10 yards off the ball, and he doesn't have the closing speed that Darby has to get back to the ball, and it killed us today again. And shadowing your receivers today killed you too, because when DeSean Jackson was on Jalen Mills, that was a huge issue all game. It wasn't just the one bomb. DeSean made some big plays on third down. He had a couple really big catches. It wasn't just the first bomb. You know, that he had two or three really big impactful plays that killed this Eagles defense. And it was really frustrating how the secondary played and how Jim Schwartz coached the secondary, just based on how Tampa Bay's weapons exploited the Eagles scheme.
Yeah, they found those honey holes really all game. You just saw it coming. When you saw Fitzpatrick release it, you knew that Mike Evans was going to step down to the throw and find space in the zone. It was inevitable. And you'd think a guy that's coaching like Jim Schwartz, who has the experience of adjusting his game plan, he didn't change a single thing. He didn't do anything. He didn't send additional blitzes. He didn't try and press at all. He just stood in the same thing and said, try and beat us, which they were doing all day. And if it wasn't for some errors by Mike Evans fumbling it, I mean, Malcolm Jenkins made a great play, but this game could have got out of hand. Jim Schwartz just really wasn't doing anything to make it better, and there's only so much an offense with the weapons that they had can do. Your defense has to make a stop, and you saw that last week. What happens when your defense comes up big that you can't win these games? But if your defense isn't going to make a play, there's no chance they had any percentage to win this game at all.
Yeah, it's just frustrating when you don't adjust. It's not that I have an issue with Jim Schwartz's scheme. The Eagles have been one of the best defenses in the NFL since he's come in. But when you're not getting pressure to the quarterback and Fitzpatrick's sitting back there all day and you're giving one of the best weapon cores in the NFL 10 yards off the ball to work with converting these third downs and getting chunk after chunk play, you know, it works sometimes when, again, last week when Matt Ryan's running for his life almost every other play, but when you're not getting to him, it's when coaches don't adjust. It's when their ego gets in the way, or it's when they believe too much in their scheme and they're too set in their ways. That's what drives me crazy, and it's why I love Doug Peterson so much, is because he's willing to adjust on a game-by-game basis, but Jim Schwartz is a little different. He likes his guys on his defense, and he also likes what he does best, and it works. It was one of the reasons the Eagles won a Super Bowl, but it also has its flaws in it, and that was shown today, is that when the pass rush doesn't get there, you're not blitzing, and your secondary is playing that deep, and they're not tackling like they are normally known for, especially Ronald Darby, and that's been an issue with Darby throughout his career. That's the problem that I had today, and again, the pass rush didn't get there, and props to DeSean Jackson, but a lot of this was self-inflicted wounds, and that's what you saw the press conference. That's what Doug Peterson really talked about today, too, is that, you know, it's aggravating because this team only lost by 6 points.
Yeah, I mean, it was in within reach, and I think you can look back to that Kansas City game last year, and it was the same thing. It was self-inflicted wounds. They took away the run game, and they didn't commit to the run, just calling, and I feel like that happened today, too. I don't know how many times a coach has to be with between the 30 and the 35-yard line and run a pass behind the line of scrimmage. He did that today again. That took them almost out of field goal range. That just is mind-boggling. When you're down so much, you can't be getting fancy. Just you were punching the ball down their throat with the Ajayi. Ertz was getting open. I mean, what do you have today? 11 receptions?
Yeah,
like, just keep hammering him. He can handle that. Yeah, him and Nelly can handle that. Like, they were beating their guys all day long, but they just got too cute on the play calling, like going for it on fourth down. I know it was a bad spot on that Ertz one, but still, I just feel like they could have been in more manageable third down positions. What they were at 3rd and 40 at one point during the game? Like, that just can't happen. Not teams are not going to win games doing stuff like that.
Yeah, and it reminded me a lot of the 2016 offense where you don't have a lot of weapons outside of Zach Ertz and one other receiver, primarily your slot receiver. Back then it was Jordan Matthews. Right now it's Nelson Aguilar, and they got cute. They tried to scheme around it, and it simply didn't work today. The offense got better in the second half, and we'll talk about the offense coming up after the break. But, you know, they did. They got too cute, and for the defensive side, they couldn't get off. I mean, it was the big plays that killed them, because I even thought the defense eventually barreled down and got the Eagles offense some opportunities. But, you know, that you needed them to make a play late. They got a big turnover, but then again, the off coverage is what killed them in that final drive where the Eagles got the ball back with only 29 seconds left because the defense could not hold. And it was tough. Gino, you've been seeing the reactions on Twitter, I'm sure, about Jalen Mills right now, because, you know, it wasn't just Jalen Mills, because Ronald Darby had a really bad game too. Tackling wise, he was getting burned by Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and DeSean Jackson. But Mills, I think, especially because there's a big group of the fan base that really doesn't like Mills, and he is a limited player. They're suggesting now, should Sidney Jones go on the outside? Because one guy we can't talk about that didn't have a bad game was Sidney Jones. I think Sidney Jones had a decent game. You didn't hear a lot about anyone coming out of the slot making big plays. I thought Sidney Jones had another really good game, and while I like Jalen Mills and I think he can be a solid starting outside corner, and I'm not going to overreact after one game, I'm looking at this guy in the slot right now that's had two really good performances to debut his NFL career, and I'm thinking that's a player I want in DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans the majority of the time, not Jalen Mills. I'd rather have Jalen Mills in the slot closer to the ball against the run and using him more as a safety hybrid. And I think that was on display as well today, was his limitations.
I mean, it's funny that you say Ronald Darby had a bad day tackling. The tackles that he didn't make were the ones that cost him on that O.J. Howard touchdown. You stop him there, that's 7 points, and you can make another stop. That's just unacceptable. You have to know better than that to break down, take away that lane, and just wait for hopefully your guys to catch up and help make that tackle. But just to throw your body at him and just not even come close is just – it'll drive you crazy. And Jalen Mills, the kid has all the confidence in the world, but there's only so much you can do to mask his physical traits that really weigh him down. His feet aren't the fastest. His hips need WD-40 bad. They are just locked up at all times. And when you're playing a guy like DeSean Jackson, who's a quick twitch guy, and Mike Evans, who's a big body, like, you can't play soft. And you also can't get beat on double moves. Like, and that's two of his worst traits. Like, he played soft all day, I felt. He played off coverage. Never saw him at the line of scrimmage. I mean, that's Jim Schwartz's scheme, really. But at some point, you have to just put a hand on the guy, disrupt his route a little bit, try something different than what you were doing. And like you said, Sidney Jones deserves a chance on the outside. I'm surprised that Jim didn't try to switch off and put somebody else down in the slot for at least a couple plays to see how Sidney did on the outside, because he didn't show up on the stat sheet at all. But that's because he really wasn't targeted. He was playing really good coverage, in my opinion, and the guys on the outside definitely weren't, and they were just having their way on the outside of the hash marks, really.
Yeah, look, I think that I don't think it's going to happen, because Jim Schwartz loves Jalen Mills, and they do it on the offensive side too. They don't want to move Lane Johnson to the left tackle, because then it's two spots that could be exploited. And it could be the same thing in the defense, where Sidney Jones is playing really well right now in the slot. You don't want to move him on the outside. Maybe he struggles there and Mills struggles in the slot. And Jim Schwartz really loves Jalen Mills, but I think this shows for the future though. And it's only one game. I still like Jalen Mills. I'm more of a believer in Jalen Mills than a big portion of the Eagles fans are, but Sidney Jones eventually needs to be on the outside, because like you said, Mills has limitations that eventually an offense is just going to keep going after if he's having a bad game and if the pass rush is not getting there. When the pass rush is getting there and Jalen Mills can play aggressive around the ball and he's not getting beat on those double moves, he can be a very good player for your defense. But Sidney Jones is a player that is not going to get nearly beat as many times as Jalen Mills, and there are not a number of different ways you can exploit Sidney Jones like you can Jalen Mills. It's just really that simple, and I think eventually, and whether it's because Darby leaves or because they move Jalen Mills maybe to safety or in the slot, Sidney Jones is going to start on the outside of corner, and I think he was really, really good today. Let's take a quick break here on the Eagles-Buccaneers recap show right here on Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back in, everybody, to the Locked On Eagles post-game show. The Buccaneers take down the Eagles 27-21, the Eagles' first loss that really counts since the Seattle Seahawks Sunday night football game last year. So, Gino, do you feel like it stings a little extra for you right now because it's been so long that they lost? I mean, I kind of forgot what it felt like.
Definitely. I think you hit it right on the head. We haven't felt this kind of disappointment since that Sunday night game, and I remember feeling the exact same way as I do now, but it hurts a little more seeing that we haven't won, and I mean lost in an important fashion in nearly over what, 9 months almost now.
Right,
so
yeah.
it definitely stings, and to know that you were on paper had a better defense that should have outclassed their offense, I think makes it hurt a little more, because I take pride in defense. Like when I played lacrosse, I was a defensive guy, so I like seeing defenses just have their way with offenses, really. Like, and they just got absolutely buried the entire game. I had deja vu back to that 2015 game that I was at against Tampa, and I'm like, how do they just keep getting open? And they're not even contested half the time. The one Godwin, could have ran around in circles about probably five times and nobody would got on him by the time he caught that touchdown. And same thing with Mike. He just scooted right in there, just got a nice ball from Fitzpatrick, and nobody even played aggressive on him. And it was very frustrating to see. And I know Jim Schwartz knows better than that, and it was really frustrating. He just won the Super Bowl with his defense. But at some point, you just have to man up and swallow your pride and change things. You have to. You can't just – you're in the NFL. You're not in college. Scheme is not going to win games. You have to say, we have the better players. We have the better defensive line than your offensive line. Let's send some blitzes. Let's play a little man coverage. Even if you get beat one time, if you're aggressive, maybe you cut down a couple, two, three plays that are in the middle of the field that would have been off a zone instead. And if you were playing man, you could have taken that away. You know, you just have to do something. There literally was just nothing done from the beginning of the game to the end of the game that impressed me in Jim Schwartz's play calling.
Yeah, I agree. So the defense definitely needs some work after this game. I'm confident still because they are healthy and because they played so good against an Atlanta Falcons team last week. That's one of the best in the league offensively. They had another really good game today against the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, I think it was maybe one game where Tampa Bay's weapons were just too much. It was on the road in a hot environment. So hopefully the team, they can bounce back against Andrew Luck and the Colts next week. Let's move on to the offensive side of the ball now, Gino, which was very up and down today in a performance that resulted in Nick Foles going 35 of 48, 334 yards and a touchdown with 91 rushing yards. I thought Corey Clement had a really good game, which kind of myth bust the whole week-long story of, is Corey Clement actually a good running back? And I feel like today he showed that he is, and it sucks that they couldn't get him the ball more on the ground. He was really good in the air, especially in the screen passes too. The offensive line got him open, got him lanes, but they were down so quickly because of all the big plays the defense was giving up that you didn't see as much of Corey Clement down the road. But, Gino, I think it's fair to say that Corey Clement, after this game, should get a bigger role in this offense, if you ask me.
I think this was good in a way that Darren Sproles didn't play so that you could see Corey Clement's ability, really. And you saw what he could do running the ball. When he's a north-to-south runner, he's very good. When he is a one-cut directional guy that can find the hole, he's going to find the hole 9 times out of 10, and you see that. And he has that nice burst to get through that hole. And same thing in the passing game. I think he offers you more than Ajayi in the passing game, definitely. But he definitely needs to get involved more come next week with Carson Wentz, and I think they'll get a little more creative with him. And you can't make these guys out to be something that they're not, and I think they're trying to do that with Ajayi in the passing game. I know he was hurt for most of the game, but just let the guys that excel in those roles go and do it. Let Corey be out there on third down. Let him get the occasional handoff every now and then. And when he settles into that role, he plays it well. And you saw that today. I was thoroughly impressed with him all the way around.
Yeah, I was too. And 55 yards in the air as well in 5 receptions. He has really taken off as a pass-catching running back. I was really impressed with Corey Clement today. So 85 total yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. Nearly caught that amazing play in the fourth quarter on fourth down where Nick Foles just heaved it up. Corey Clement sprawls out like Superman in the air. Got absolutely leveled. So he took a huge hit, but he nearly brought that down. So was really impressed with Clement. And Nelson Aguilar, I think, is wide receiver 1. Even when Alshon Jeffrey comes back, the fact that he's this reliable is just absolutely incredible. And that catch and that throw in the fourth to pull within 6, do you know that was one of the best passes I've ever seen from Nick Foles, and maybe in Eagles history. The fact that it was just in a absolutely tiny window in the corner of the end zone, and he does a teardrop almost floater like basketball play to get it to Aguilar, that was an incredible play. So really the takeaway from the offense is it was up and down. It got nothing going early on. It suffered a ton of injuries, but I'm very optimistic and very encouraged by Clement and Aguilar's performances, because that show instills some hope that the Eagles have a lot of young talent to work with on offense right now, that if guys go down, these two picked up the slack.
For sure, and there are veteran players on this team, so you definitely expect it. And, well, I disregard that statement. I was thinking of Ertz and Aguilar. Ertz, you have to applaud him, too. He stepped up in big moments as well. But, yeah, Clement, Aguilar, and Ertz, you can run an offense through them. And I just think they have to get a little more creative with getting those three open. I love when Nelly gets in space. You see how dynamic he is, and he can make guys – He can beat guys. Like, he's a very athletic player, and saw that when
fast,
he was at,
man. Like, you saw that 50-yard reception. He's just got that breakaway speed that when he gets in open space, it's tough to get him.
It really is. And he's a shifty guy, and he can beat guys. If you get him in the middle of the field, get him on a safety, that's prime to break a tackle and go to the end zone. Like, you saw it, and they're getting better at it. Alshon comes back, things are going to really start to click, I feel. And when you have to put somebody on Alshon and allow Aguilar to get cornerback number two or a slot corner on him, I think he's going to really light things up. Something that is really disappointing to me is, why did we not see Dallas Goedert in this game?
Yeah, I look, he said that Perkins has more familiarity with being a wide receiver, I guess, in that type of area. But Dallas Goedert, you drafted him to be a receiving tight end. You did not draft him to be Brent Celek's replacement as the next blocking tight end of this team. You drafted him in the second round for a reason. He looked really good in the preseason as a pass catcher. When you have nothing but Nelson Aguilar and Zach Ertz in the passing game as threats outside of your running back, Corey Clement, the fact that you didn't give Goedert more shots, especially when Perkins had two bad drops, and he continued to get snaps over Dallas Goedert, it was driving me crazy.
Absolutely, and I mean... You saw how reliable his hands are. He almost had that snag on the wheel route last game. Like, he's going to catch things in a game when you called it. Josh Perkins has two drops, and they were both just about wide open passes that he had a little. I feel like Dallas would have caught those and actually maybe get a little yards after the catch there. But to rely on a guy that you really haven't seen in the preseason or in the last game and just throw him out there and give him. What do you have, 4 for 57? That's not a sustainable way to win a game.
No, it's not. And look, I think this offense just needs to get healthy, plain and simple, because Nick Foles, whereas he did throw for over 300 yards and a touchdown, and sometimes the receivers just weren't getting open. He had all day in the pocket. I thought the offensive line played really well again, despite not having Jason Peters, both in the run game and the passing game. But Nick Foles, again, left a lot of plays on the field. He had Ertz wide open in the corner of the end zone on the play where he went to Corey Clement on that fourth down on the turnover. There were plays, again, where he left bigger plays open on the field because he just didn't see him. His progression was just too slow. And it's plays that I'm excited for next week because Carson Wentz probably makes those plays. And instead of a 15-yard first down or a 6-yard out, it's a 30-yard touchdown because he goes through the progressions and he's very quick on it and he sees that. And that's why I'm just ready to get Carson Wentz back. And it's not just him at quarterback, but Mike Wallace got hurt today. I was expecting a big performance from him. He's in a walking boot. Jason Peters got hurt. He was trying to get healthy. I guess he suffered an injury on Thursday and was really trying to get ready for this game to play, and he gave it a go. But, you know, Halapuli Vaitai had to come in after, I think, the first quarter just because Peters just couldn't go anymore. And then Jay Ajayi was hurt for the entire first half once again. You know, he had that touchdown, and I thought he got going on a couple big runs in the second half, but he's been banged up a little bit in the first two games as well. It's just, it seems like the injuries just are starting to pile up and pile up and pile up on this offense, and eventually you just can't overcome it unless you're having a Nick Foles and Doug Peterson Hall of Fame historic legendary type run that they had in the playoffs last year. Because, I mean, right now, again, they're running through Ertz, Aguilar, and Clement, and then after that, you were throwing to Perkins and you were throwing to Kamar Aiken. It's just this offense has to get healthy. I know the penalties were killer up front early too, but it really was health to me, Gino, that I'm not worried about the offense long term because I think they just need to bring Alshon back. They need to get Peters at 100%, and bringing back Carson Wentz, I think, is going to solve everything right now because there have been a lot of plays in the past 2 weeks that Nick Foles just hasn't seen.
I agree with you absolutely 100%, and I think it's going to give the guys more motivation too, and I think they all realize too, Nick's, dare I say, downside to his game is that he is a high variance quarterback, and I'm sure Ertz, I didn't really see him on that play when he was open. I'm sure he was had his hands up in the air and frustrated he didn't get the ball, and you make those progressions. And that's the thing with Nick is he has that high variance to his game that some days he's on and then other days his eyes aren't there. He's sitting in the pocket too long. He's holding onto the ball too long. That was one thing that really drove me nuts is that in a game when you're not getting things going down the field that Doug didn't try to change his game plan to get the ball out of his hands in some rhythm plays and try and get the clock moving a little more and doing a little up-tempo to his offense, because you've seen that Nick can succeed in that, but he was having him sit in there for 4 or 5 seconds and nothing was developing and trying to make some magic happen that really wasn't there. But I was disappointed that they really couldn't get guys into space quickly and get the ball out of his hands and just not try to get cute and not try to win down the field when you weren't doing it great throughout the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think, I mean, the offense, they still put up over 400 yards and it was 27-21. I mean, that's what's so, I think it's why I'm a little bit more fired up about this one is because they only lost by six. They were coming back. They got the turnover when Malcolm Jenkins punched the ball out of Mike Evans's hands. And they couldn't complete it, and it was tough because I think if you could have came out with a really dirty, scrappy win in Tampa Bay, getting Carson Wentz back healthy next week at 2-0, you saw the opportunity again. It was one of those aggravating games where you think they're dead in the water, and then suddenly they find life in the fourth quarter, and then it comes back to break your heart. Well, it's like if you were going to lose, just do it early so I don't have to deal with the heartbreak again. But I think that's why it was aggravating too, because you know, despite everything we just talked about, all the setbacks in this week two matchup, they only lost by 6 points. And we didn't even mention Jake Elliott missing that field goal again, which would have pulled them within three.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's so disappointing is that Elliott, it's every time he just needs to like be the guy to get the points that something goes wrong. Like you saw it in the Super Bowl with the missed extra point. You saw it in this game, and you saw it early in the Giants game when he missed those field goals last year before he hit the 61-yarder. Like that, that's just free stuff to get a little momentum going. Like you get 3 points at the end of the half, it's 20-10. You come out and get a score, and you're within a field goal. But instead, you're going down. You have no momentum after that, and you now are in a must score situation coming out of halftime, and it's very disappointing to see. And this just reminds me so much of that Kansas City game last year, and it's funny enough that it was week two, and just there are a lot of questions left on the field, play calling wise. Why didn't Doug run the ball? You could see that today. Why didn't Doug get the ball out of Nick's hands faster? The defense didn't show up when they needed to. This game, I hate using this term again, but giving me flashbacks to that Buffalo game when Jaquay Parker jumped off sides. Fitzpatrick did it again. He had a guy jump off sides. I know. We had the neutral zone infraction on that last drive, and then Jalen Mills has a penalty. That you're just shooting yourself in the foot, and it seems to be every time Fitzpatrick is in there, this stuff happens. You saw it in the Bengals game, too, when we ended up tying. It's just these games are frustrating because you know you can win, and you're just right there, and just a few mental errors cost you, and it's just disappointing. It really is.
I'm with you, Gino. Let's take one more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the show. This is the Locked On Eagles post-game show. Tampa Bay takes it 27-21 over the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, welcome back, guys, as we wrap up today's post-game show. The Eagles fall to 1-1. After a 27-21 defeat to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. So, Gino, the Eagles take on the Colts next week at the Link. Seems like after Ian Rappaport's report this morning that Nick Carson Wentz could be cleared for contact before the Colts game, it seems like, as expected from Peter King, from Ian Rappaport, that Carson Wentz is going to be under center next week against the Colts. And I think that's why I'm not, you know, I was fired up about this game after they lost. I needed a couple minutes just to take a breather, take a step back, really analyze the game, how it went down, instead of just reacting like a caller would on a sports radio station. But I think you started thinking about it, and it's like, this team only lost by six. They're still 1-1. If you were to tell me they were 1-1 getting Carson Wentz healthy, I probably would. I would have said sign me up. And you know, they only lost by six. If you can get Carson Wentz back this week, Alshon Jeffrey within the week or two, Jason Peters, Jay Ajayi, just get everyone that's dealing with these hampering injuries, just get them at full strength. I'm not worried at all about this loss. I think the Eagles are going to bounce right back against the Colts and get a win at home at the Link. That to me is a matchup that the offense really needs to rebound, because today, although they put up the yards and they did score 21 points, this was a matchup that we were saying this is a game to bounce back. But you know, you couldn't exploit that Tampa Bay secondary because your receivers were almost as depleted as their secondary was, as you're playing Kamar Aiken on the outside. So I think Carson Wentz coming back next week is going to remind us all about just how truly good he is, how he was an MVP candidate last year, and he probably should have won it before he got hurt. And I think we're going to forget about this game really quickly. So I think the Wentz news this morning makes this loss a lot more bearable, and it makes me a lot more optimistic about this offense, because I think he gets rid of a lot of the woos that have been happening with this offense the past couple weeks and even in the summer.
Looking as a glass half full perspective, many people had the Eagles after 2 weeks being 1-1, but that loss was projected to come against Atlanta.
Right,
so
it was just flipped. Yeah.
I mean, really, are you in ultimately that bad of a spot? You had a bad game on a team that's been hot the last 2 weeks. They beat two of the better teams in football, so maybe they are actually really good. So you have to take away that you only lost by a one score, like 2016, when we couldn't finish those one-score games. But, yeah, to look at it in a good light, you did only lose by 6 points. Foles still did throw over 300 yards. Your defense didn't look terrible all the way around. I think there were some bright spots. I mean, it was good to see Nigel Bradham back. He finished with a sack and a tackle for loss. Fletcher Cox, he's still playing guard him on the inside. Sidney Jones, I think he had his best game so far as a pro. And Carson Wentz is that shot in the leg that this team needs. And when you see him come out of the tunnel next Sunday at the Link, that place is going to be rocking. And I wanted this game to be that statement game to say we are Super Bowl champs.
Right.
I think next week is that game. And I think Carson has to come out and absolutely dominate. That defense has to come out and absolutely dominate. And I think they want to pile back on Carson and say that their Messiah is here to lead them the way.
I'm with you, Gino. I'm with you. So I think that's going to put a wrap on it today for the Locked On Eagles podcast. Recap edition, Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeat our Philadelphia Eagles 27-21. The Eagles fall to 1-1. They'll be back next Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Indianapolis Colts. Me and Gino will be back tomorrow for the second look at today's matchup. We'll go through the film. We'll talk about really what happened on a deeper level on the offensive and defensive side. So that's going to do it. Follow us on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE and at Gino_LOE. Check out LockedOnEagles.com, subscribe to the pod, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.